It is 11:49 and you are listening to James O'Brien on LBC, where we turn our attention next to that slightly curious conundrum that I shared with you just before the news. It was back in 2013 when a then slightly less well-known character called, he was called Keir Starmer then, he hadn't been knighted, but he was still a QC, now of course a KC, called for the prosecution of public sector workers who failed to pass on suspicions about possible child sexual abuse. 10 years later today, Rishi Sunak is expected to announce a similar policy. It is usually described as mandatory reporting, and it is something which I understand largely as a consequence of Tom Perry's work. Tom got in touch with me on this programme many, many years ago to talk me through why it was so important and why there had been so many failures properly to address it. So I thought today would be a good day to catch up with Tom, who set up the Mandate Now organisation. Is this a good day or a bad day for you, do you think?
The jury's out, James.
Yes, of course. Hello.
The jury's out because we need to know the details. I can tell you now that what the papers have been reporting, that the government's going to introduce mandatory reporting of known and suspected abuse, is, I'm afraid, deeply questionable, because the recommendations made by the inquiry, and this has not been
picked up. This is Baroness Jay's inquiry. This is the independent child sex abuse.
This is the independent inquiry, absolutely. The recommendation for mandatory reporting that inquiry made actually is a two-tier structure.
Mm.
And the top tier is this. So let me just bore for Britain for a moment.
No, it's not boring at all, Tom.
So it's mandatory reporting with criminal sanction if abuse is disclosed to you, it's admitted by the perpetrator or witnessed by the reporter. That is mandated to be reported, and going to be a sanction attached to it if you fail to report.
Well, what was the second bit? I've got disclosed and witnessed.
Disclosed, admitted, and witnessed.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay?
Yes.
Now, they're the three rarities.
Yes.
You know, that really is, those three very rarely happen indeed. And the inquiry acknowledges this in its report.
Yes.
It's in black and white. Then there's the second tier, which is mandatory reporting of suspected abuse, which is mandatory in name only, because there is no criminal sanction attached for failing to report. There is nothing. So what we effectively have is whistleblowing rebadged as mandatory reporting.
Yeah.
That's what we have at the moment. And the most important area of reporting, actually, is suspected child sexual abuse, because effectively that's grooming. So there's been this great hoopla going on about, you know, how wonderful it is. And I've been watching people and listening to radio and various commentary. And, you know, I'm perplexed because everyone seems to have lost the ability to read. And let me tell you, I'm dyslexic.
And that I mean, you know, my interest in this is abiding, and it comes originally from a similar place to yours, although for much less serious reasons in my case. It is the idea of an abusive teacher being suspected by his colleagues, but the colleagues doing nothing. How does that threshold work? It's hard to prove that someone had suspicions that they didn't act on. That's the crux of some of this, isn't it?
Yes, but the whole point is, and you know, this comes from evidence overseas, because that's where all the evidence lies. We have no evidence in this country at all.
No.
It's pathetic. So we go abroad, and we certainly tramp around Australia a very great deal. Most people really want to do the right thing. That's what you have in their eyes. And mandatory reporting per se is presented as a threat. It's constantly presented as a threat by government.
Yes.
Oh, if you don't report this, we'll get you. Well, no, stop. That's not what this is about at all. It is supportive of personnel who work with children. Because at the moment, for example, James, there's a private members bill tabled in the House of Lords.
This is Tanny Gray-Thompson, isn't it?
This is Tanny Gray-Thompson. You've got it in one. And Tanny Gray's bill is actually very good. And I say that with complete bias. We had something to do with it.
Yes.
And you will see in the bill, or those people who choose to read the bill will see, that we protect the reporter from detriment, because the most appalling consequences can be visited on professionals for doing the right thing. And we're very keen that they're protected from that. At the moment, and I can't understand, the teaching unions don't seem to understand that. We had a meeting with one union, which lasted an hour, and, you know, it was a strange experience, but there we are. We travel in hope.
Yes.
Because at the moment, if anybody reports sexual abuse, and it's not made out in law, the reporter can be sued. Now, you know, people just don't get this. They don't realise this. They do in Australia, I can tell you.
Yes.
Because it happens a great deal. So it is actually very much getting everybody in the organisation facing in the same direction. Because, believe it or not, when you have law to report, what happens is that you are genuinely, as a potential reporter, you are genuinely making a report, and you're doing it, and it is completely unbiased. So in other words, it's not a personal thing. You're doing it because the law says so. And that's important. It gets everybody going in the same direction.
Yes, I understand now. I sense that you're not enormously optimistic about what's likely to be announced later today in that case.
I wasn't very optimistic about how the announcement was weighed. It was a sort of symphony of dog whistles. It was grim.
This is Suella Braverman talking about the ethnicity of victims and perpetrators.
Yeah,
when, in fact, the inquiry was called in the aftermath of the Jimmy Savile scandal, wasn't it?
You've got it in one. That's absolutely right. So I'm not optimistic. I mean, you know, we'll just see what happens. I mean, we've been here before. It's like being in a permanent, you know, spin cycle.
Yes, of course.
And we'll wait and see what emerges.
So Australia have got it right. Is that? We could just copy and paste their legislation on it.
Well, not really, because all parts of... Well, you see, all we're doing is, here, you also have heard that, you know, if you introduce mandatory reporting, the whole system will be swamped.
Yes.
Well, let me tell you, the system is swamped now, principally not as a result of reports being made, just purely as a result of the workload and the fact that social workers have, you know, got the wrong end of the deal.
Mm.
And councils have got the wrong end of the deal, and they've been defunded. So things are very, very serious indeed. Australia does have elements of this right, and what we're saying is many elements of this right, certainly in terms of the fundamental design, but we have limited our proposals just to child sexual abuse. And let me tell you why, because this very boring statistic is incredibly important. In mandatory reporting jurisdictions in Australia, the number of referrals made, total referrals for child sexual abuse to children's services in each jurisdiction, accounts for no more than 6.5% of total referrals. Those made by mandated reporters account for just over half that.
Gosh.
So please tell me, how is that going to flood the system if the system is operating well now? The answer is not. So what we have is historically, we've had government defending a system at the expense of leaving children to be abused. That's essentially what we've had.
It's about essentially making people feel safe when they come forward, because they are required to by law.
And who are the people coming forward? Those people who are disclosing, or those people who are reporting?
Reporting, in this case.
Right? Well, absolutely.
Yes.
And that's exactly what it is. Because actually they're wrapped in a blanket, a protective blanket, where they have right to legal action if they're beaten up in any way. So in other words, for example, at your terribly posh school, James, you know, you've got teachers who are living in, okay?
Yes.
And, you know, if they're sacked, they've got to get out of the house they live in, you know, their salary's gone, future careers in question, and the rest of it goes on.
Mm.
Well, not anymore, because if someone reports... They would have under Baroness Tammy Grey Thompson's bill, they would have huge protection.
And the same would be true of you know, social workers reporting people working in takeaway restaurants or anywhere.
Yeah. Well, not the takeaway restaurants. They're not a regulated activity. So, in other words, they don't have direct care of children.
Okay.
They're not in positions of trust. The law applies just to people in positions of trust. With that point, we do agree with the government completely.
Ah, okay. So we will watch with interest later today, but with probably very limited expectations.
Limited expectation, absolutely.
We may catch up, Tom. Thank you. If you want to find out more about the work that Tom Perry and his organisation Mandate Now do, just go to mandatenow, all one word, .org.uk. And there's a catch line at the top of his Twitter account that is, it's just so powerful. Children cannot stop child abuse. Adults can.